Blog Talk Radio.
Let it be.
Tonight, let us pray. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We give you praise, honor, glory that this is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity that you have given us, Lord God, to come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord God. Thank you for even as your heart, even as you lead us to minister your heart, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the word to be received in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your hand and your mighty touch, Lord Jesus. You know how to reach us, Lord God, in your word, Lord God. You know how to find us in Jesus' name. We know what we need in this hour. Lord, thank you for your heart being ministered to us, and thank you as we receive your word tonight, Lord Jesus. Minister to us, and Lord God, take us to a place in you that we've never been before. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, thank you, Lord Jesus, for you. And we ask you, Lord God, to have your way in our lives tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. We bless you. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Amen. Welcome once again, amen, to Eagles and Flight Hour. I'm Apostle Marcus Debris. We're going to get ready to the Word of God. And we're going to actually turn with us tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen. Then we're going to go from, we're going to start from verse 12. For we 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 12. For we did not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. We, however, would not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, and other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our spirit, to preach the gospel in the regions of beyond you, and do not boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. Amen. Tonight we will talk to you about being the best you that you can be. Here we see as Paul starts verse 12, he's talking about, for we did not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. We have to be careful of comparing ourselves to other people. We all have been made differently, have been made uniquely by the hand of God, and we have to understand that God has made us to be who we are on purpose and by his own reason. We, as we continue to walk this walk of this Christian walk, as we continue to walk this walk, we're going to discover and see that there's greater things inside of us that even we do not realize. As God is making us, he's shaping us, molding us, there's great treasures inside of us that's going to be discovered about who we are and how God uses us. So we have to understand and know that God has purposely made us the way he has for his plan. It's not by mistake, but it's definitely on purpose. And as we continue to walk out this walk, we must learn to be comfortable within our own skin. I know we hear this being said sometimes, but it's very true. If we're not comfortable within our own skin, we rob God the opportunity of using us the way he's made us for that reason. He's made us for his own use. He's made us to worship, to praise him, to be used of him uniquely for who we are. And so when we're not happy with ourselves, it discredits what God has done in our life. But even though God never changes, but we don't live out the full potential of what God really wants to do in our lives. When we look at each other, someone's hair may be long, yours may be short. Someone may be small, you may be big, you know, whatever the case may be. But you look at other people in the measure of, it reminds me of the children of Israel. We see ourselves as grasshoppers in their sight. See, you're seeing yourself from your own perspective, but you're not seeing right. You're thinking that someone's seeing you from this way, but it's not even so. Sometimes we think people look at us a certain way, and really it may be another way. But sometimes that's why it's not good for you to really unfairly put yourself at a disadvantage by thinking this best to always think and see yourself the way God sees you. Not so much the way man's opinion or people's opinion can see you. You know, because sometimes, you know, people may see you one way, but that's their opinion. But that's not the way, may not necessarily be the way that God sees you. Well, our validation should not come from man, but it should come from God. Now, of course, we know we do care about how people feel to an extent, but it should not mean so much the world to you that if someone doesn't like you, that your world is crushed. Or someone has a problem with you or the way you look or whatever. You know, that's your whole world in a nutshell. No, it should never be like that. We should never give anyone anything that kind of power in our lives. Amen. Our validation should come from God. Because why? He made us. He made us the way he's made us on purpose for his reasons. He made us why. You know, and truly he has planned for us to be used the way that he has made us for his reason, for his glory, Amen. So when we compare ourselves with other people, we're measuring ourselves to someone else's standard. And a lot of times we shortchange ourselves because they have been made the way they've been made for the reason that God made them or allowed them to be made. Some people have some talent in athletics. Some people may be talented academically. You know, comparing the two is really an unfair match because they're both on different scales. Well, some people, okay, two people may be both in they both may be talented academically. But one may learn by observation. The other may learn by teaching by the bookwork. If I go through the schoolwork, someone actually may learn by the classroom better than hands on. So there's different ways of learning for some people, and so some people grasp things faster or differently than another person. So God has made us all different. There's no two people alike. Even down to the fingerprints, God has made even identical twins have different fingerprints. No one has been made to be the same. God knew exactly what he was doing, even though they may look alike and similarly very close, almost down to the T, but they are still yet different. Everyone has their own personality. So comparing yourselves with another, someone with another, is not wise. It's unfair from the start because you were made differently. You were not made out of a cookie cutter. You were not made as a clone. You were not made as a duplicate. Each and one of us has been originally made by God. Psalm 139:14 says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." See, you've been fearfully and wonderfully made by God. He took his time and made you the way he's made you. And he had joy, pleasure when he made you. You've been made to be who you are for the very purpose of God. And this is why we have to be encouraged and know that you have to learn to be comfortable in your own skin. A lot of times we can get so happy by other people about how gifted and talented they are, but do we take time out and find out how talented we are? Do we take time to rediscover the giftings and the great talents inside of us? See, when we take time out to, you know, encourage others, that's great, but you also have to make time for yourself. Find out what things you like to do. Really explore. Try some different things and see what you might like. You might try something that you never tried before, but come to realize you actually like this thing. Or you may actually be good, better than you ever thought you were. And see, here it is now, you know, because you've been gifted with talents and gifts inside of you, you never know what's on the inside until you tap in. Some of us have different ranges of academic skills, and some of us are just athletically inclined. We could try and jump on anything, we're good at it because athletically you've been fit like that. Amen. So, but if we don't take time out to find out where we are, find out what we like to do, then it's a different story. I mean, I do pretty good in academic, but do decent, pretty good. But then also, you know, I realize athletically, okay, not bad. Decent, I guess. But when it comes down to it, ministering the word of God, I found my home. Like I've told people I've said before, if I had 99 problems, preaching wouldn't be one. That's just me. I found my niche. I found out my purpose for being here. You know, and so when you find this out, it's easy for you to do that thing that you could do, and you do it well, and you have joy in doing it. And sometimes you can do it and don't even, you know, you haven't even put a price on it just because you love to do it. Now, because you love to do it, that don't mean you should never get nothing. Well, praise God, half the time you may be able to find a way that you're able to do what you love to do, and actually you can actually find a way to where you can actually, you know, benefit from, prosper as far as a financial gain, whatever. But now, we just got to make sure it's all in line with the word of God, but of course, make sure it's not all, you know, legal, or make sure it's right, because we still have the laws of the land to abide by in the way we do things. Make sure everything is line upon line, precept upon precept. But when there's your gifts and your talents to make room for you, you know, and so because of that, there's opportunities that open up because of who you are, because of of the great things you can accomplish. I've heard with the story about Michael Jordan, but how he was playing basketball when he started. He tried his 10th grade year, sophomore in high school, and he got cut. Actually, got cut from the team. So he tried, and so, you know, he just of course, didn't feel he was good enough. But what he did was, instead of losing his confidence and never try again, well, he took time out and began that season off to practice, work at it, practice. Did whatever he had to do because he knew he loved it. He knew he had a passion for the game, but he just had to redevelop his skills. And what eventually happened is when he came back the next year, he was undeniable. It was the coach, they couldn't deny him. They had to give him a shot, and so on and so forth. But, of course, you know the great things he went on to do. Went on to College North Carolina and made that winning shot against Georgetown for the Tar Heels to win the championship that year. And went, of course, on the NBA and did some great things from that point on. But what if he would have got discouraged and stopped developing the skills after 10th grade? If he never took time out to cultivate his skills and really begin to work at it. See, a lot of times we're better than what we are, but sometimes we don't want to invest in ourselves. We don't want to invest time. We don't want to invest effort. So we sometimes, just because it didn't happen the first time, we get so easily discouraged. But if we take time out to begin to go for God and really cultivate that thing that he's placed inside of us, God has talented, has invested himself. He's invested talents and gifts inside of us to help us, but not only to help us, also to be a blessing to others. That's why everyone has been uniquely made by the hand of God. And comparing yourself to another is a travesty, because you weren't made to look like someone else. You weren't made to do like someone else. You were made to, you know, to have success or in the same way as someone else. Everyone else has to the destiny to greatness is different. You may have spent 10 years in the field, I may spend 5, but we both can end up in the same place. You may have spent using 2 different talents, or 2 talents and 2 gifts to get to a certain place. I may have just used 1. So there's some different things that play a factor on where we are today to getting us to one point to another. Some people have been graced with a great occupation or job or skills because of their natural skills level. Amen. So we have to take time out to find out what is inside of us. So here it is, we do not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So we're all in the same whole household of faith. I may preach one way, you may preach another, but the fact of the matter, the gospel is getting out. I mean, you know, so my style or skill may be different from yours, but the fact of the matter, the word is preached. And see, here it is on the same scale, we begin to understand and be secure within ourselves. Now when God begins to use us, each one of us, we will be used on whatever pace that we operate on, and we both can make an impact to the people that we reach. You may preach one way, I may preach another, but on the same panel, we both make an impact together. Because, once again, the word of God is preached. So when we begin to see the scope of the scale from a different standpoint, there's no reason for us to ever be jealous of one another, because the purpose and plan and reason for God for giving us skills and talents and talents and gifts is never to try to outshine one another, but it's simply to fulfill the purpose and the plan of God in our lives. So the sooner we grab hold of the fact, the sooner we can kill the spirit of competition between each other in the church. And so as we begin to really grab hold of this, see, this is why 4 or 5 people on the panel together bring some words of inspiration or speaking, it should bring about a great joy for the whole service, not a comparison, oh, I knocked that thing out, I saw better than all of them. It's all for the glory of God going forth. Amen. For the purpose of God, the plan of God, the word of God, touching lives out there. Amen. As we all come together on one accord by whichever talent or gift that we operate from and bring forth the word of God, each one should make an impact in their own different way. You may say tomato, I may say tomato, but when it comes down to, we both saying the same thing. Amen. Or sometimes maybe a little different, but bringing some different points out. You may bring the fact about the sun. Yeah, I may bring the fact about the moon. But, you know, it all the both in the sky. Whatever the case may be, but the fact of the matter is we all have to understand we have been called, shaped, summoned by God to operate differently, but yet for the same purpose, all for his glory. Hallelujah. So we've been fearfully and wonderfully made. But you have to see the beauty from within inside of you. You can't look at someone else and downplay yourself and not thinking that you're not worthy, you're not no one special. Oh, shucks, I don't look like them, so I'm no one special. This and hold your head down, woe is me. No. Find out what makes you tick. Find out what some things you're good at and begin to work on those things. Cultivate. Become better. I mean, I've had some errors and challenges in my time, and I had to allow my wife and some other people to just kind of help me and just work on it. You know, and as your time goes forward, you get better. And as you begin to defend, you begin to see sometimes it amazes you how gifted or talented you actually may be in some areas, and you know, because of the different trials and tribulations come up, and you find out how God uses you a little different than others. Some people may take hours for preparation. Some people may take minutes. It just depends on where you are. Everyone has been made differently. And when we begin to rejoice for where we are, and you begin to actually get excited about how God uses you. I know as I'm learning myself more in ministry, I've been in some crazy situations. It seems like, you know, I've been on a call one time, and a guy asked me, come on, just to pray, you know, when I pray for the people. I said, okay, sure, no problem. And all of a sudden, I'm on in, and all of a sudden, he said, we will have a word of God come from, this is how I was prophet debris, come, we have prophet debris bring forth the word of God. And I'm thinking to myself, huh? I'm like, no one told me this. Well, of course, I can't go in there acting like all of that. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, okay, God, I need you, like, right now. What am I going to do here? And he told me about which scripture to go to. I went there, and I began to start there. Before you know it, I was preaching, going at it, just going. And I was like, oh, my God. It's just like that. But see, what I had to do, I had to take the trust out of myself. Could not look at what I could do. I had to keep my eyes on God and begin to look at what Jesus can do through me. And so you begin to see, once you catch on to that, the sooner you're able to put your trust in him, no matter how gifted or talented you are, but when you put your trust in the Lord, he can do great, mighty things through you and use you by his hand. And that's what it really caught my attention. I was like, wow. You know, but the funny thing about it, since that time, it's been so many different times he's done that. And each time he's been doing some great and mighty things, and I've learned to. So whenever a situation like that happened, I learned not to panic. I began to trust the Lord and just set my mind, no, not to get cocky with it myself, like I can do it. No. Now, see, that's when we begin to get cocky and get overconfident, and now we've been to set ourselves up for a fall because now we're trying to take the God's glory. No, my trust stays in him. My confidence is in him because I realize without him, I can do nothing. I don't care how gifted or talented I am. Without him, I cannot accomplish the work that's to be done before me. So I don't try that. Oh, then, too, have the attitude, oh, I'm better than you. I don't have to do that. And I tell some, tell some people that, you know, I'm better than you. I don't need to do like you do. No, that's not just the wrong attitude, wrong way of approaching that. Now you're setting yourself up for pride. The very pride is one of those things that God does not like. And we have to be careful. That's why we have to be very careful in comparing ourselves. We can lead ourselves into some dangerous places with God if we're not careful. Not being humble, being prideful, full of yourself, thinking that you're doing it, taking God's glory. No, it's not God. It's not us. It's truly God. He has blessed you to make you give you skills of operation, but don't begin to take God's glory. You may receive the benefits of certain things, but don't take God's glory. Be careful with God's glory. Okay, verse 13 says, "We, however, however, would not boast beyond measure." Now, that's not saying you can't be excited for how God uses you. Within range, keep it humble. You know, praise God, you know, God can. So even in learning that still keeps me humble, because once again, like I said, I still realize that I can't do that without God. God is the factor, the big major factor in my success in that. It wasn't me and myself. No, it was truly the hand of God, because his anointing, his word, as he put his hand upon me and do move me how he wants to move and speak up what he wants to speak, he's operating through me. I just have to just trust him and yield myself to him. So as I'm yielding myself, my trust is in him, and I realize it's not nothing good that I've done. Truly, he's done it. And as I allow him to flow and move like that, then I begin to see the power and the presence of God moving in my life and through me. Amen. And not for me to, like I said, not for me to get the big head. No, it's for me to continue to give him the praise. But within the limits of sphere which God appointed us. See, we all have this Bible tells us, Romans 12 and 3 says that each man has been given the measure of faith. See, we all have a measure of faith to operate from. But the key to it is that for that measure of faith that we operate from is how we develop and what do we do with it. Okay, every man has muscles. Some men work out. Some men don't. Some men work the plate. Some men don't. Well, so what happens is, you have some people who take that muscle that they're given, and they might start at one place, and they may begin to work out. They may go to the gym and work out and get strong and build them up. Another person with the same muscles, they may choose to do nothing. They may not even do anything with it. So, see, we all have a choice in the matter. We all have a place of sphere of operation to go in. But the thing is about it, we have to stay in our lane. So, if you choose to, whatever you choose to do, that's the choice that you make. We all have a choice to make on how we operate and how far we go. You may be the one who says, shoot, every chance, look out, you're gonna work out and get strong, you know, and work out, you know, get into the gym and work out. That might be your MO, that might be your heart's desire. Mine may be, I don't even want to do some too much. I don't want to spend every day in the gym working out all the time, but I do want to watch my body and make sure things get healthy, stay healthy, and stay good. Amen. So I'm working within my sphere of operation. I'm doing what I can do or what I'm allowed to do from the area that I work from. You know, so I'm not trying to be you, and you're not trying to be me. We're all being who we are in our own place. Because sometimes people try to be someone else, and that's where they mess up at. God does not want a cheap copy. He wants an original in you. As he keeps you, amen. Amen. So I'm going to open up the line. If there's anyone who have any questions or comments, you need prayer right now. The number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the queue box. Amen. Hey, glory to God. So, amen. So, once again, so just wanted to let you know that, amen. So, as we continue to grow and go into things of God, let's do remember and keep our minds focused on him. It's all for his glory and for his power. So, amen. It's all for him to get the glory out of our lives. Amen. So, as we go a little further. But within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. So, amen. So as we see that, and we do understand that's how God operates, and truly that's how he wants to move in our lives. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. See, the Spirit of God inside of us, he brings talents and gifts inside of us, and great skills and even his the presence of God in our lives, and where he's able to, you know, begin to stir up those special giftings on inside of us and use us in a very special way. You know, his hand is truly upon us. Amen. And we, when we allow him to, he can do some great things. So when we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to move in our lives and we begin to cultivate the giftings that's on inside of us, we begin to see the hand of God. He begins to see him move. And that's why when we, whatever we do in his presence, it becomes, it enhances, it becomes stronger. Singing. You may be one who sings, but when you sing under the power and anointing of God, yokes are destroyed. Those who are bound are set free. See, this is why it's very important to understand where we stand. You know, and the things of God. No, that's why you have to know what gifts and talents you have or possess. You have to know. You know yourself. Begin to spend time finding out what are some things that you're good at. Sometimes we go through life and don't realize some of the gifts inside of us, and sometimes we don't do anything with it. Amen. When we think about the talents, the ones who have five talents, one had three talents, the men who have two talents, one talent. Amen. The one who had five talents went out there and created five more talents. Amen. So he got 10. The other one who had three, he went and doubled that, and amen, he got 6. But the one who had one hid his talent. He hid his talent and did not do anything with the talent because he was afraid. He just wanted to, whether the owner came back and found out, he rewarded the other ones for the talent, for the gifts, and he rewarded them and gave them double. That's when he got the double. But long story short, because of their faithfulness with the talents, he rewarded them. Now, for the one who had the one talent and didn't do anything with it, he lost that one and he was able to give it to someone else because he did not do anything with it. How many of us have talents and gifts that we're sitting on and we're not even doing anything with it? Amen. So if God is waiting. He's blessed us to have these talents and gifts, but then we don't do anything with it. And a lot of times, our gifts, our talents will make room for us and bring us before great men. And also, too, our wealth is tied up. See, some of our financial situations can change a whole lot once we start using those things that we're good at, those gifts and talents. You know, you get a high-paying job. You might get some contracts. You might get your own business. There's certain people may contract you out to use to operate, do what you do best, and you love it. You get paid for it. I mean, so some people, I remember Les Brown, he's a motivational speaker. He said that because he was actually born inside of his mother had him prematurely, and she had him in a vacant building, and that he was basically kind of left for dead, you know, basically in a bad condition. And so because he was left that situation, he was actually labeled educationally retarded. You know, he was slow, you know, in some areas as far as learning. But then one of his teachers said, "You never be a good speaker." Well, one night he was at working at a radio station, and he was cleaning up, and somehow the disc jockey, something happened to the jockey person that they weren't there, and no one was there to take the place and keep the music going, and something happened when that happened, and then the man told him, the owner called him and said, "I need you to go in there," and told him what to do. And he was like, "I don't know what to do." So he told him what to do. He went inside there. He did it, and the best came out of it. He loved it. And from that point on, he began to be a disc jockey for some years. And, I mean, he really did good. It blew his mind away because what people said he couldn't do, he actually tried it later on in the course of life, and here's his thing, because he used to stutter. and made to encourage him, whatever. And there was a teacher, remember, there was a teacher that encouraged him and kind of worked with him for 50 years. But he still had a problem with that stutter. So once again, when that opportunity came up, he found himself doing it without stutter. And he began to do it and did it well. And so long story short, he became, he discovered and realized, man, I can do this thing. See, sometimes we're afraid to try because other people's diagnosis of us, because of people's diagnosis of us. They might say, that I don't think you do good at that. Well, you never know because you never tried it. Try and see. What did you have to lose? Try it. And so here it is. He tried it and he was successful. And he went on to be a motivation speaker for big corporations and companies. And now he said the easiest thing was for him to do was make $1 million. He said the hardest thing was for him to do was to believe it. Sometimes it's hard for us to believe that we can actually achieve some things because what people have said about us or what they were doing, skill level, as, you know, may have been. But sometimes what we understand, if we begin to change some things and begin to make some changes in life and begin to apply ourselves, cultivate our relationship with God, cultivate our skills, whatever it is, begin to give over to God and let God use it, let him develop it, and let him build us up. See, we'd be surprised how far God can take us when we give him back the talent and give it, and let him be used for his glory. So, there's so many opportunities that we can actually be, or so many opportunities, there are also so many lives we can touch when we trust God. To anyone who needs to call in, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the queue box. Amen. So, as we continue to understand that, his hand is upon us. We just have to continue to trust him and allow him to have his way in our life. So as we continue to walk this thing out of God, we understand, and these treasures are earthen vessels. The excellency and the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. So as we continue to see God move, we just have to continue to trust and know that he is in control. Many times God is going to move and use us in some different ways. It may surprise us. It may catch us by surprise. But we just have to trust the Lord. Sometimes when it comes to doing the things that we've never done before, we may be a little nervous. But don't lose your heart. Hey, you know, guess what? God has anointed you to do what you do. And sometimes it may be uncomfortable because you don't know what to expect next. But If God is in it, it's going to be great. We just have to begin to take ourselves out of the box. Sometimes we're so used to living inside of a box, we have to break out the box. Get out the common thing. Break out to the unknown. Do something that we've never done before. I remember I always wanted to have me a barbershop, amen. And I always had a dream of working at have my own barbershop and everything. So I finally did, was able to, while I was working some other barbershops, and I finally had an opportunity to, I think I'm going to go forward and do that thing. I had one open for a couple of years, amen. We didn't have the best location, but we was able to have it. And it was great. We did have enjoyed the experience. It was great. Lives were touched because it was a Christian barbershop, the Christian atmosphere. Amen. It was a great opportunity. So now I've done it, I feel better. I don't have to go to the grave. Matter of fact, the greatest, wealthiest place on the earth is the graveyard. But there's a lot of talents and gifts that never even been touched, never even been exposed to. Many books inside the graveyard that never been published, never been touched. Talents and gifts back to the grave. Never did anything with it. Struggled through life when they had an opportunity for God to do it all. How many gifts and talents are you sitting on? Is there things that you should be doing right now that you're not doing? But because of where you are right now, you're choosing not to take a chance because you're fearful, because you might not be as successful as someone else? The thing is, you never know what you can accomplish until you try. We have to get beyond the fear inside of us and begin to walk in the fear of the Lord and really trust the Lord to do this thing within us. There are many gifts that's untapped in our lives, many books that have not been written, many songs that have not been sung or published, many poetry that was never rehearsed. Amen. There's so much inside of us. All right. At the essence of the empowerment of God in ourselves, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed, plagued, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carry about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be made manifest in our body. See, we have to catch the last part. The life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. See, Jesus gave gifts to men. And sometimes our gifts may not be in the pulpit. But the great thing is, when we allow Jesus to really manifest himself in our life, we'd be surprised what comes up out of us. It comes with a decision. So begin to look at yourself and really think about this. Am I really living my potential? Am I going through some hard times of life, being crushed by circumstances and situations, even by trials and tribulations, because I'm not allowing God to really operate and use me? So sometimes God tries us, he allows us to be tried because we won't step out and trust him. If we trust him, we begin to see his hand move. Sometimes God will cause us to be put in a situation to where, matter of fact, perfect example. I used to work with a company for 6 years, up until about 2 years ago. Matter of fact, the 12th of this month would be 2 years since I was left that company. But the thing is about it is that with that company, I was actually a truck driver with that company. I was doing pretty decent, pretty good. It was good safety money to where, it was good safe money. But the thing was, my heart was ministry. And so I should have already had left there, but I was secure in the fact that it was a secure job. But I wasn't happy. The last few years, I was not happy at the job. I mean, I went through some different things, and I really was hating that job. I would go to work, I would go to work hating going and see if I couldn't get out of there fast enough. I was stuck there all day. But anyway, long story short, I got fired. Okay, so when that happened, at first I took it kind of good, but then when in reality, man, I ain't got a job. So, life was kind of crazy for a second there for that day. I had my moment, a breakdown moment. Once I got past that moment, I said, okay, well, and one thing about me is no matter what I've gone through, the different changes I've gone through, I may have been disappointed about certain things, I may have been for certain adventures I was going through and disappointments happened. Well, one thing about me is I love to keep it. I don't stay in that position too long. When we had the barbershop, we had to close the barbershop, but I was disappointed. It really was. But I didn't stay there. I kept it going, give myself the time to, realize, accept the fact, it didn't work the way I had planned for it, but guess what? It's time to move on. You got a family depending on you. So I began to bounce and keep moving forward. Well, the same thing with this here. When this thing happened with the business, the job, and I lost my job. So here it is. I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? I know where I started. A year before that, I started pastoring. The things wasn't going the way it needed to be, going to the church and everything. So here it is. We found ourselves in this position where, God, I know you want us to do ministry, but this thing is not working in the building like it needs to. So we just came out of the building, and that's a few weeks later when I got fired. Long story short, but what happened was after that, because that happened, Eagles Wings International Ministries, the church with and without walls, really gave birth. See, we were doing it with the walls, but then at that time we hit the shift and we began to do without walls. That's when we started having the church over the line and everything, a full-fledged church over the line, doing everything, the training, teaching, everything. I mean, just moving forward, doing it over the line. So it began, you know, but out of a bad situation, out of a tight situation, out of a situation where I had no answer what to do, God used the opportunity to birth my talent and you know, the gifting he's given to me. Because as far as ministering the word, well, he created an opportunity for me to minister the word over phone line and began to have members all across the place. So this is how, see, sometimes this is how, through adversity, we see here, he says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. See, I was knocked down, but I wasn't destroyed. I was able to get back up and allow God to use me with my talent and gift, and he began to create an opportunity, a platform, so I was able to be used. And see, before that happened, I was already speaking. I was already kind of doing stuff over the line a little bit, but not to the magnitude of what he called me to do then. And so what I'm saying is sometimes we look at some things that with the devil, we might say the devil did it, or the devil caused some things to happen. It may not be the devil. It just may be God causing you to step on your gift that you got inside of you. Sometimes through until we go through some adversity or some changes, sometimes we won't step out on our giftings. So, sometimes we won't begin to trust in God with our gifts until we have the rug pulled from under us. What you may look at as it might be the devil, God said, ha ha, now, sir, I'm doing that to you because I need to get you to move. Because sometimes we would never step out on anything if we stay in our comfort zone. And that's the thing about God. He loves to break up comfort zones. And that's what he may be doing in your life right now. You may be feeling a squeeze because God is trying to get you out of the comfort zone. He's not crushing you, but he's got the pressure on you, trying to break you and to get you out of that place. Sometimes we can get very comfortable at being safe. But being safe is not always God. Sometimes he wants us to step out, launch out into the deep, take some chances that you've never taken before, and allow God to have his way. Through the life of Jesus, you'll be surprised when he will give birth into your life. Some of you are decorators. Some of you are people who may want to have a moving company, may want to do certain things. You have the gift of talents. You have it right there. But you're afraid to step out into the unknown. Because why? It's the unknown. Because you don't know what's going to happen when you step out there. But God loves a cheerful giver. And you walk by this, we walk this life by faith and not by sight. We cannot be afraid to stretch out on faith and allow God to use us. He said the just shall live by faith. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2. We'll be closing out there. Lord said it. Okay. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tablets. Some of you have vision dreams about different opportunities. If anyone needs to call in, the number 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416 for prayer. But anything you always want to have or something to speak, just press 1 to get in the cue box. Amen. You may have this opportunity. I mean, you may run, God, you may see yourself doing something that you don't quite understand it. You just write it down, whatever it is may be. You may have a dream about something. You might not be sure about it. Write it down. And ask God to reveal to you what is the thing. Or talk to someone who works in, who operates in a prophetic office and who might can give you clarity of what it could be or understand it. Amen. And reveal to you what it is, hallelujah, what it is that God wants you to understand and see. See, we never know until we allow God to really minister to our hearts, for us up and really to step out there. So write it down. Write the vision. Whatever it is, make it plain upon your tablets. Amen. He said, write it down. Make it plain. Amen. And make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Whoever may read it may run. My God, they may catch it and run with it. And guess what? That might be you. God is waiting for you to read the vision and plans that you wrote and catch on fire with it. Amen. As he goes forth, he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. See, as you begin to work this thing out, Use your talents and gifts. Begin to cultivate it by God, by the hand of God. Let him begin to work with you and help you to get better with it. It's for the point of time. It's for the point when as you become proficient in it, the right person to see you at the right time, at the right place, or you will display if you want at the right place, at the right time, and someone who didn't see you will see it, and there goes your opportunity. You never know. But at the end, it will speak. And will not lie. See, a picture is worth a thousand words. Someone may see your picture and see nothing but the glory of God. And it's, you know what, who wrote this? I mean, whoever painted this picture, I want them now. Get them. Find them. Discover. Bring them to me. You'll be surprised what God can do with you. Amen. But don't forget, you got to go ahead and write that thing down. Though it tarries, wait for it. It may take a little while. Wait for it. Be patient. Be patient. Keep be found being busy by the work of God. Do what God has called you to do. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It will surely come. It will not tarry. One gift can beget another gift. One gift can give another gift. You'll be surprised what you end up with in the end. But the fact of the matter is this. As you continue to let God do what he has to do inside of you, you'll be surprised what he's going to do next. Who's going to see you at the right time that he may be able to use you and bring forth his glory? Hallelujah. Amen. And he says, behold the proud. Don't be prideful. Don't get caught up in pride. Be careful of pride. His soul is not right, upright in him. See, pride will cause you to be all out of order with God, and God can't use you because you're prideful. He don't want to do that. But the just shall live by his faith. We are the just, and we shall live by his faith. Now, so be encouraged tonight. Hallelujah. Don't compare yourself with someone else. Be the best you that you can be. Allow God to cultivate the gifts inside of you. Allow God to cause you to prosper, make you better by the gifting inside of you. Let him begin to cultivate, turn you, and begin to cause, develop you, sharpen you. Let him begin to do those things that's going to help you out. It's going to help you to get better and stronger. And sometimes when you go through adversity, trials and tribulations, stop blaming the devil for it. And begin to see the hand of God. Because God may be allowing you to go through this to bring the best out of you. Sometimes you won't do anything until God puts you in the corner. Sometimes some of you won't even move until you get in the corner. Sometimes God will say, now I want you to use the skills I got inside you and get out. Sometimes you may have to do that. So don't be afraid. Let God begin to do inside of you. Write down the visions. Whatever he's showing you to do, whatever you see yourself doing, write it down. Make it plain. Hallelujah. And write the thing out. Begin to pray over it. Begin to thank him for it. Begin to seek him. How did he want you to do it? Why did he give it to you? Begin to seek one out who may have, let's say, operate in a prophetic office and who might give you clarity or to your pastor or someone. Begin to talk to someone who may be spiritual who might give you some insight. Amen. Amen. And stay away from the little tarot cards holding the little palm readers. Stay away from them. I'm not trying to tell you about the palm readers. But amen. Be careful. But use wisdom. Amen. Amen. So as we continue to go forth, amen, be encouraged to know the Lord has made you to be successful. His plans for you are great. And amen, he has something the best in mind for you. He never made you to fail. He made you to succeed and be successful and very successful. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you for your word tonight. As we be the best that you've called us to be, thank you for us to be used for your glory. Thank you for your presence and your power, Lord Jesus. Lord, begin to help us to cultivate. Lord God, begin to be used by you, Lord God. Use us in that desire, the way that you choose to, Lord God, that we should continue to forever give your name and praise, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing out the best in us, Lord God, that we should never quit. And we should never give up. So, Father, we bless you, and we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. There's greatness, Lord God, inside of us, Lord God, and your heart's desire is to bring it out. And we thank you for it right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we give you praise, we give you honor and glory. For your son, Jesus, in the mighty name we pray, and let your house say amen. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you all. Thank you for the welcome. Thank you for coming on the Eagles in Flight Hour. Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Celine Dupree. God bless you all. You have a wonderful night. Amen.
Every now and then, you ought to let your mind go back to just how good God meant to you.
So can I get a witness here?
Sometimes, when I couldn't see my way, sometimes